Hi, everyone.
Happy almost New Year. December 31st, it is.
I am Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
I forgot what we were doing there.
No, same, but I felt like since it's our last one of 2019,
we
it
could
should
just be
like,
wild and out.
Yeah.
With Nick Cannon.
Whoa, you know Maya Rudolph in SNL. Whoa.
I thought you were also doing JoJo Siwa or Jackie imitating JoJo Siwa.
Oh no.
Whoa. happy New Year's Eve, everyone. We hope that you are spending the day not at work, but if you're at work, we're hoping that you're making the most of it.
Yep. And New Year's Eve can be stressful AF.
Yes.
So I really hope that everyone enjoys today and tonight. I personally have been struggling really hard with New Year's this year because mm-hmm. it always just gives me a lot of anxiety.
Why does it give you anxiety?
There's a lot of pressure around it. Yeah. Everyone, not only am I single, so that is, you know, a little difficult mm-hmm. around this time of mm-hmm. year, but also just there's a lot of pressure. I don't even do well on my birthday. Like anytime there's an event with a lot of pressure around it, I feel like I need to have the best night of my life.
Totally.
And I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I hope everyone just finds time to smile tonight and know that, you know, not everything's going to change from December 31st to January 1st. But it is a great way to start setting goals and kind of feel refreshed. Mm-hmm. So it does, even though that's a little corny, it's true. And I hope that everyone feels like this new year will bring new and good things.
It's interesting because New Year's Eve feels very disconnected from like the new year. Like the all the allure surrounding New Year's Eve no longer to me has to do with like the start of a new year, but rather it's just like a night that people use to get like really turned and like
yeah.
excited. But it's like we've lost the what's supposed to be good, what we're supposed to be celebrating, which is like, we made it to another year. It's so great. Yep. Like a new decade, which is really exciting. So I encourage everyone to try and remember like why we celebrate the year.
It's a great point.
In the first place.
Wow. You just really helped me by saying that.
Oh my God.
You really helped me a lot. I've been really anxious about the night and what the night means and what I'm going to do that night. And I've completely forgotten about the fact that I'm so excited for 2020.
2020, I have really a really good feeling about.
Amen. 2020 is going to be a good one.
So I know New Year's can be really hard, and I have been in a relationship for a long time, and it can still be really hard for me just to like plan and try to figure out where we're going, what we're doing. Are we going to do the thing where we spend money to go to a club and it's bad? Or are we mm-hmm. going to do the thing where like we go to a place and stand in line? Are we going to go out at
totally.
All? Like, but I do think that if you allow yourself to have fun, like it can be a really fun night.
Totally.
And you can make the most of whatever situation you may be in. I hope that you're able to reflect and enjoy. But today,
you really did help me.
You know, that's the point. I know that sometimes yeah. we like talk to people and no one, it feels like who's listening and like who's taking away things. So I'm glad that you were able to take away something.
Yeah, I feel better about it now. I feel like I'm just going to celebrate the new year instead of like all the anxiety about what it means.
Yeah.
You know, not what it means. I'm saying like what I do and like what that says about me. Like that's kind of how I've been thinking about it in my head. Like what are my plans for the night? And like what are people going to think about my plans? And what do I think about my own plans? Do I think they're good? Do I think I'm doing enough? Like it's not really about that. It's just about like celebrating family and friends, like where you are in your life and where you're going.
Agreed.
And what potential there is to happen in the next year. So anyway,
speaking of the new year, we wanted to take this episode to reflect on some things about this year's past, both regarding mental health and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage you as you listen to try and think about like the equivalent things for you. Like, for example, we're going to be talking about our favorite moment in therapy. And if you started therapy this year, you can kind of reflect on those things. So as you go, maybe make your own list and let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm. And we would love to hear from you.
Should we do a peek and pit, or do you think like because the episode's reflection?
Yeah, I think peek and pit of the year.
Okay, so do you want to start with that, or do you want to
end
with
that?
Okay, I think that's a great idea.
Because we're going to be speaking a lot about the year, so it will help us reflect on what's happened, and then at the end we'll wrap it up with peek and pit of the year.
A year in review. Okay, so just to kick it off, the first thing that we're going to talk about is something that comforted you this year. Sarah, do you want to start?
Sure. So, you know, I had to take notes because with all of our questions, there were a lot of thoughts that I had, but mm-hmm. this one in specifically is a little more vague. I don't really have anything too specific. I will say that I did go to France this year, mm-hmm. and that brought me a lot of comfort in the sense where it reminded me that I still have such a supportive family. I know that sounds like weird, like how did you forget, but my family lives in France and yeah. South Africa and Israel, and we're all over the map. So I really hadn't seen a lot of these family members in like 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so it really comforted me, because sometimes I feel lost in New York, and seeing my family reminded me that no matter where I go, no matter what I do, like I have these people out there that maybe we don't talk every day, but they're there.
Right.
And if I, God forbid, if I was ever in trouble or needed something, like they would be there.
Yeah.
And so that was very comforting to me.
I love that. And it's very important. And sort of similar to my thing that comforted me in a couple ways. I wrote that the thing that comforted me was looking at my past. And this actually, I was inspired last night. We went to a shiur, like we talked about before, at our friend Odelia's house. And we all
Which is a Torah class.
It's a Torah class. And we all went around and read Psalms. So they're like prayers of thanksgiving and reflection. And one of the prayers that we read was about how you can reflect on the things that have happened to you in the past in order to get comfort in the future. And so sometimes when I'm going through a lot of anxiety, I consider the bad things that have happened to me and how I'm still here. And so like sometimes if I'm on a bus and I'm so anxious about getting home and it's Sunday and I know I have work tomorrow, I think about maybe something bad that happened to me in my life. And you might be thinking, well, wouldn't that give you like more anxiety to reflect on something bad? But for me, it's like, well, I went through that already and I'm still alive and like I'm still here.
And you've had a happy moment since.
Exactly. Totally. And how strong I have become because I went through some hard things. So that has been really comforting to me. And it's similar to the idea of family. Like family has a lot to do with past and memory, mm-hmm. and how we can always like go back to our roots. So I think in an interesting way, those two things are connected.
I love that. Recently, I have also been using, I think it's since Cameron on A Freckled yep. Foodie said yep. it. She was like, I need evidence.
Yep.
And she uses her past as evidence for the future for her anxieties.
Yep.
And that's been really helping me since that episode was recorded, because I'm like, if I get anxious about something, I'm like, okay, what's the evidence I have from my past that can mm-hmm. comfort me for the future? So I really like that.
So let's do favorite moment in therapy. I guess I'll start this one since you started the last one.
Please okay. do.
So as everyone knows, I'm going to try to limit this topic, but it was a really big part of my year, so I can't help it. But as many people know, Sarah and I had the privilege and honor of meeting Kanye West this year. And, you know, when you go to therapy is so based in science and in research, as it should be. So you don't expect, you know, it depends on your therapist, I suppose, but you don't expect a lot of like spirituality mm-hmm. to come from therapy. It's very evidence-based, whatever. So when I was telling my therapist the story about Kanye, I adore her, but I guess I expected her to talk to me about like what that meant for my mental health. But instead, I told her the whole story, and she goes, like, I just got chills because that was so cosmic that happened to you. And it was such an amazing moment to realize that, you know, I think Sarah and I have become a little bit more spiritual this year, and my spirituality doesn't have to be mutually exclusive from my mental health. Like, rather, science and spirituality can go completely hand in hand. And it was so comforting to me to know that despite my therapist not being a religious figure in my life, she looked at an event and how it impacted my mental health, but also how it impacted, you know, how it reflected something greater than me. And that was like really important, because so much of therapy is like, we'll talk about your childhood, talk about this mm-hmm. and that. And this was just like, well, this was made for you. And how can you use this in the future to like get you through tough times?
I love that. And I love She also, like, there's no judgment at all for you feeling, even regardless of what she believes in, like, she knows where you're at in your spiritual growth, and like, she's supportive of it.
Totally.
And she's acknowledging, like, you know, there might be a higher power that was
at play
here. Totally. Yeah. I love that. My favorite moment in therapy was very recently. Maybe all my things are recent because
it's just like top of mind.
It's hard to think about what happened in January.
Totally.
Like I keep referring to anything before April as last year. But my favorite moment in therapy was recently. Just for some context, my therapist from the beginning of this year moved to Canada. I promise I wasn't the reason, but at least...
She's like, I gotta get away from this girl.
Yeah. So she moved to Canada with her family, so I had to get a new therapist, and I was, like, really nervous about it, but she ended up being the best therapist I've ever had.
Yeah, and you were just talking about how amazing she is.
She's literally incredible, and I'm so lucky to have her. And if you're thinking like, oh, why isn't my therapist the best therapist I've ever had? I've had five. So it takes time. And I've had five just because I've moved or they've moved or people's lives change.
Totally.
So sometimes you can't just stay with the same one forever. And this one has been really incredible. And I'm so thankful for her. And the best moment in therapy specifically was recently when she told me, like, she was giving me tools to combat my anxiety in my day-to-day life, and it was really challenging, and I kept looking at her being like, I don't know if I can do that. And she was like, I know this is hard. And I was like, that feels impossible to me, like what you're telling me to do. And she said, I'm only challenging you because I know you can do it. Mm. I would not challenge you if I thought this was like too soon or too early. Or she was like, I'm very good at reading people, like,
it's my job.
Yeah, she was like, I'm not just saying this because, like, it's what you should do. I know you by now, and I know you can do it. And to have someone look at me and say, like, I know you don't believe in yourself right now, but, like, I really believe in you. And as someone who is in her position that, like, is smart and, you know, she's, like, had all of her training and she has, you know, been a therapist to many people, for her to look at me and be like, I know you can do it. It just was like really encouraging.
Yeah.
And it instilled a lot of empowerment in me. So
it's funny you talk about how much experience she has and why that spoke to you more, because one thing my therapist always says is I can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, yeah, you can. Like, of course it's ethically wrong, but like you can't. And then I was thinking to myself, okay, if I was to be totally cynical about therapy, like the therapist, if they were trying to do it for their personal gain, they wouldn't tell me good things about myself,
right?
Because then they would be out of a job.
Right.
They would tell me like bad things. So it's just interesting. Like, really their job is to help you and make you feel better. And like, they can't tell you things that aren't true, and they can't mm-hmm. present challenges to you that you wouldn't be able to do, because it would not only be unethical, but it wouldn't be helpful from mm-hmm. their position either. So
right.
It's good that you're able to reflect on that.
Yeah.
Positively.
Yeah.
Favorite song of the year. This is a fun one.
Yours is definitely going to be Kanye.
It's actually not.
No?
Because I wanted to pick something.
Sorry for assuming.
No.
It was mine's Jonas Brothers.
My first one was a Kanye song. And then I have another thing that I want talking about that's Kanye related. So I was like, two is enough. I don't need to do three.
Okay.
But it's another song that was really important to me this year.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it?
No, because I went first. So you go
okay.
first now.
All right. My favorite song of the year is Strangers by the Jonas Brothers. For so many reasons. I'm like smiling and blushing right now. Mm-hmm. The Jonas Brothers came back this year.
Yeah, this was landmark year.
This was a big year for us. And
me and the three of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. The
yes.
four of us.
Yes.
And Frankie. So the five of us. It was a big year for us. And the Jonas Brothers reunited after around six year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And the song Strangers, I've interpreted, I always talk about how I interpret songs for my own self and mm-hmm. in my own life. I've interpreted the song to be about the Jonas Brothers and the fans, but also the Jonas Brothers and me. So the song Strangers is basically about how the Jonas Brothers were looking. I don't need to get into the whole thing, but it's basically about how reuniting wasn't so easy. Like, the first line is like, I came in looking for another excuse to run away from something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. At the beginning of when they first came up with the idea, like, should we make music together again? Like, they were very hesitant, especially Joe. He was like, I don't know if I can do this. Because there was a lot of emotional baggage tied to it. But there's also a line, and it's like, something like, we felt something way before we ever touched. And it's like, whether they're talking about being brothers and like they're reuniting and their connection goes deeper than physical because they're blood, you know?
Yeah.
But I felt it was like there is a connection between them and the fans, because we've always been here together, and whether you've met them or not, like, there's such a connection between them and they're very, very good with their fans.
Yeah, they definitely
and
are.
Um, I don't know. The whole song is really, and they've said that they wrote that song as kind of like tipping their hat to the old Jonas Brothers, because a lot of their new music is like a new sound.
Yeah.
But Jonas, but Strangers specifically, they were saying is like supposed to represent their old sound. Mm. So the song is very representative of like old Jonas, new Jonas, and like coming back. And just the fans. And every time they play, like, all the fans cry. So I just love it so much. And it really represents, like, it brings together my childhood and also, like, 2019. I'm an adult, but, like, we're tying together this, like, nostalgia and new music and new sound and new experiences. And it just, like, it's just beautiful.
I love that. And I love that song, too. I mean, there's a... Your experience with the Jonas Brothers this year has like renewed a very dormant love that I had for them when I was younger, and like I liked them, and then I always kind of felt like when you were a Jonas Brothers fan, like you were a stan, and there was no way to breach the empire of Jonas unless you were like gung-ho Jonas. And now I've realized, yeah, like from being a friend of the biggest stan ever, like it's so possible to love them and not feel like you have to do the most. And we've talked about this like in our stan episode, but yeah, I've just been like thrilled to listen to someone with a new lens.
I'm like smiling looking at Lynn.
I know, it's, I like when you talk about like Kanye and stuff too, it makes me feel the same way. But so I didn't want to pick a Kanye song because I thought it was a little bit too obvious, and also another thing that I'm going to talk about does talk about Kanye's music. A song that was really pivotal for me that I just like thought the most about was The Bones by Maren Morris, because I just loved her album Girl so much. Sarah and I and our friend Alana saw her in concert. I think the song means so much to me because it's about how having a good relationship with someone can weather any storm. So like if you have a good foundation, that like silly little things can happen all the time, and like nothing can break the foundation of the house because it's so strong and it's been built. It's taken time to build for so long. And that's how I feel about my personal relationship with my boyfriend, who I've been with for a long time, but also how I feel about like my mom, for instance, because I remember last weekend I called her and I talked about how this was my pit, and it made me realize like I called her so upset and unhappy, and she was never like, nothing's gonna take that away. We've gotten in arguments and we've had our tough times, but like she's always my mom. And you can make that song about like a parent who really like you have an emotional tie to. Or I hope for everyone listening that if you're in a relationship or if you want one, that you find someone who like you can build a foundation with, that the small things could never like break the foundation of your relationship. It's also just a beautiful song. She has a beautiful voice. I love that. And I listened to it so much and just reflected on how really I complain a lot and I have a lot going on that I'm stressed about, and my relationship isn't one of them, and I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for that, and that song helped me realize.
You just gave me a new perspective on the song, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
I actually never really thought about what the words meant on that particular song, so thank you.
I was going to say, should we talk about our biggest takeaway of the year?
Yes, but I was going to say, did you want to start? Because I started with Strangers. Yes.
Strangers! Okay, go. Strangers! Okay. My biggest takeaway from this year was that I'm great. And Liz, the reason that I say this is because I gained a lot this year. I gained Instagram followers. I gained new friends. I gained someone to make a podcast with. I gained acceptances to law school.
You heard that right. Acceptances.
Plural. And it's taken me a really long time to accept that those things happen to me, not because it's a fluke or because, I don't know, like the universe is playing a joke on me, but rather because I'm a great person and I deserve those things and I work hard to achieve a lot of those things. And it's just interesting that so many good things happened to me this year, and it took me a really long time to realize that I'm deserving of them. And we talked a lot about that in our imposter syndrome episode, which I encourage you all to listen to if you haven't. But just essentially realizing that, like, even when good things happen to you, you think that's going to make it a landmark year, but you really have to acknowledge that, like, you're responsible for those things. That's my takeaway.
That's beautiful, Liz.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm proud of me, too.
Good. I have a ton of takeaways from this year. I have a really hard time.
Mention it all.
Okay. So one of the biggest takeaways that I have from this year is that my anxiety does not define me. I used to say, and I still kind of speak this way, and I'm trying to change my language because changing your language is one of the first steps of changing your thoughts. Mm-hmm. But I used to say, like, my anxiety or like my brain just da da da, or like this is just who I am. That's how I spoke a lot. And it was only until recently my therapist was like, you need to stop using words like that because your anxiety is not you. It's not who you are. It's not, it's something you have. And I used to think that it was me and that someone one day was going to have to deal with me like this. It's not me. It's something that I have. And I'm trying to detach my anxiety. I'm actually going to talk more about this in a later question. But just to summarize it right now, my anxiety is something that I struggle with, but it's not, it doesn't define me as a person. There are a lot of other character traits that I have, a lot of other qualities I have that have nothing to do with my anxiety. My anxiety is just a bump in the road. And I'm going to learn how to deal with this thing that I have that I struggle with, but it's not something that's like permanently in my brain forever.
Right.
So that really has been great. Another takeaway I've taken away this year is that helping people doesn't have to mean you're doing this like grand gesture. You're giving away all this money. You're doing these big things. Sometimes it feels like helping others means that you have to do like all of these like big charitable things,
right.
You know, but through this podcast and through yoga, I have learned that you can help one person and that could mean the world to someone, and that is good enough. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's like I used to have such a fear of starting this podcast because I was like, how am I going to make a huge mark? And like, I want to do so much. I want to help so many people. But like, it just felt like such a big mountain to climb.
Yeah.
Like I had to do so much at once. But then when we actually started it and we got like messages coming in from people, and even just hearing it from one person be like, you helped me today, it brought me so much fulfillment that I didn't realize I could get just from like helping one person. And to that, I say like, you never know how much you're really helping, even if you're only helping one person. So if you don't think that what you're doing is enough, like it is enough.
Yeah.
You helping that one person could then help someone else. And it's a chain effect. And I also learned that in yoga because I was becoming a yoga teacher and I was like, but how am I going to make sure that everyone that comes in my classes like feels zen and relaxed and da da da? And my roommates were like, Sarah, even if one person comes in and leaves and it was like, I feel so much better and they have a great day because of your class that they went to, like that's good enough and that's great. It's not just good enough, it's great. And it really changed my perspective and I was like, I don't need to please everyone. Like I just do my best and I try and help others. And if I help one person, then that's great. You know?
Yeah. It's funny because up until what you were just talking about, I had looked at your yoga certification as a personal accomplishment for you. And I hadn't considered all of the people who go to yoga to feel better. And that's not like an insult to you.
No,
I just,
totally.
My perspective about this was how the mountains you were climbing to try and like accomplish a certification and get hired. And I didn't consider that this was another avenue for you to help like a lot of people. And so I just think that I'm reflecting on how you've helped people a lot with the podcast and stuff, but like how yoga really is for so many people, like just a healing space. And you should be very proud of that, not just because of the time you put in, but because what you're doing is going to help a lot of people.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's what it did for me. And that's
right.
Why
it forward.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're doing What Did We Learn? What did you learn? What's that from? Oh, The Office. Rats.
Wouldn't know.
Wouldn't
care. Sorry. Oh my God. Don't hate me.
No, that's okay. I don't hate you.
No. I was talking to the followers.
Oh. This year I learned that asking for help is not weakness. It's actually strength. And it's critical to personal fulfillment and growth. Like I have a really hard time asking for help, and I've talked about this both with Sarah and I think a little bit on the podcast. I just like, I was an only child for a really long time, and I kind of learned to just like be independent. And while that is a really good quality in a lot of ways, it prevented me from like being able to ask people for help when I need it. And I have a hard time like admitting defeat or admitting that like I'm not able to do something on my own. And I always feel bad asking for help because I feel like I'm a burden on other people. And I haven't learned how to completely like conquer that, but I have learned that it's really important to ask for help. So like, I think that that's the first step. Like, I had always gone through life thinking, I guess I don't need to ask for help because I'm good enough and I can just do it myself. But I think learning the importance of asking for help is the first step in conquering this idea that like, I can never ask for it. And I think I need to.
It's a great accomplishment.
Thank you.
This year I learned that everyone handles things differently. Mm. That sounds really like, duh, why didn't you know that before?
Right.
But I used to, and it's kind of like me being more vulnerable than usual, but I used to think that I could like help everyone by just, like I said before, I wanted to help everyone. I thought I could help everyone at once by like, anytime someone had a problem, they could vent to me and I would like be able to help them with whatever they were going through because I could offer advice from therapy. Like, I just like, not that I thought I was this like person that could solve all problems, but I felt like if people came to me for advice that I could like really help them. Mm-hmm. And I realized that by putting what I learned in therapy on other people when they weren't really looking for that kind of support, I don't know if I want to say this.
I'm interested to hear where you're going okay. with it.
By putting what I learned in therapy on other people, like it's not necessarily the right way to help every person. Mm. Support comes in different ways. And I used to believe that like, okay, maybe they don't realize that they need to be told this, but like I should tell them because this is what's helping me. Like when I go to therapy and my therapist says this to me, like this helps me. So like I should do it for others because it yeah. will help them. And it was good intention. I obviously wasn't doing it so that everyone would be like, wow, Sarah knows all the answers. Like I genuinely wanted to help as many people as I could help. But I realized that other people need support in different ways. And so sometimes that means not talking about what's going on and just being there as a friend, being like, hey, if you want to talk about this, I'm here to listen. If not, let's do something fun. Or if someone wants to just cry and have me listen without trying to like offer them like positive advice. Or some people, when they're feeling down, they don't want someone in their ear being positive back.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
Yeah.
And then if someone is feeling down and they want positivity, sometimes they don't want to hear like that sucks. They want to hear like you got this. So I guess like I used to think that there was one way of helping. Mm-hmm. And now I realize there are so many different ways to support different people and everyone's different in how they need to be supported. So I'm trying to like really like learn my friends and learn what they need as opposed to what I think they need.
Yeah, I love that. I think also I was trying to picture like what we're trying to do in connection with what you're talking about. And I was like picturing a door, and what we're trying to do is like show people that a door is there. Mm-hmm. But our job isn't to like guide people through the door once it's opened. Mm-hmm. Like, because the direction that you go in once you realize the door is there is completely up to you. Like,
are you talking about as a friend or a podcast?
Both. Like, like what you're trying to do both with your friends is be a help to them, and what we're trying to do with the audience is help them realize that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. That there's resources for them, but like we don't have to say this is the right resource for you or right. you have to go talk to someone about it. We're just trying to show the door and exactly. show that like it can open and there's totally. So many options on the other side, and you're trying to do that with your friends too. Like I want you to see that I'm here for you and right. like this door can be open, but you're trying to learn how to not necessarily push them in one direction exactly. once they've opened the door.
And I think on this podcast especially, like I think we do a really good job of being like this works for us but it doesn't work for totally. everyone, and reinforcing that like these are things that have helped us. Maybe they'll help you, maybe they won't. We're learning as we go. We don't have all the answers. And yeah, I think that this podcast, if anything, like if none of these things that have helped us help you, at least you know that there are ways and you just have to find ways that help you, you know?
Definitely.
And so yeah, and I want to make it clear that I never thought that I could like solve everyone's problems,
that you meant that. I completely resonated with what you were saying because I have the same anxiety of like, if I can't do it all, then I can't do it.
Yes.
And I think that that's wrong. Like sometimes even with charity, you know, they say like no contribution is too exactly. small, because I think there's something psychological about, well, if I donate $5, that's so embarrassing because so many people are donating $500. Exactly. But it's like, no, your small contribution is more than nothing, and it means so much that you're able to contribute anything. So I think trying to make ourselves think that way a little bit more is good. So the next thing we wanted to talk about, we talk a lot about takeaways. And, you know, just as we were saying, we try to give people some advice, but we know that not everything works for everyone. But with that said, what are some tools that you have learned this year, Sarah, that have helped you with your anxiety?
I have learned, one of the tools I've learned is what I was saying before, detaching your anxiety from yourself, kind of. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking about, oh, why am I like this? Why me? Why am I so anxious? Trying to detach yourself from it and being like, all right, there's this thing called anxiety that's attacking me. This is not who I am. It's here and I'm going to try and stand up to it. So re-envisioning your anxiety like a bully, imagining it's a bully.
Okay.
And you want to stand up to the bully and you want to say, I know you're here attacking me, but I'm not going to let you take control over me. Mm-hmm. That's been, I mean, it's really challenging, but kind of just trying to like reframe my anxiety in my head. So it's less about like who I am as a person and like, why am I so anxious? Already just it makes me feel more empowered, like I do have control over this, knowing that like it's an external thing that's like trying to tear me down, but I'm not going to let it. It's very, very hard because when your thoughts are coming into your brain and you're telling yourself all these stories, like I saw a meme one time and it was like anxiety is really just you, your brain telling you conspiracy theories about yourself.
It's so true.
And it's like your brain, like it's automatic. It's like a learned behavior that so many thoughts and stories and worst case scenarios just pop into your head without you feeling like you have over control over them. But I have been really trying to separate myself from the conspiracy theories I tell myself. And I say, if I'm spiraling, I have to literally force myself. And I'm still, trust me, this is like an everyday effort.
Totally.
But
still learning.
Yeah. I have been trying really, really hard to be like, these stories that I'm telling myself, this is not me. This is not my brain. This is not who I am. This is not me. This is an external thing. Like it's just white noise on the side and I am not going to listen to it. It's not that I'm avoiding it. I know it's here, but I'm just going to let it sit here and know that this is just an external thing. It's not me. Does that make sense?
It does.
So yeah, just that's one of the tools I learned is kind of like detaching yourself and also like that kind of takes off the weight of like negative self-talk. Like when you realize your anxiety is not you, or sorry, when you think your anxiety is like just you, at least for me, like I tend to get so down on myself.
Yes.
I'm like, ugh, I'm so anxious. Like, why am I like this? But the more you tell yourself it's not you, it's something external. It's something that wants to take over your brain, but you're not going to let it. It's like the more you talk that way, the more you realize like you have the power here and your anxiety does not define you. So, yeah.
I love that. My takeaway is sort of similar to yours and I want to like tie it to yours in a way that I can because it's different. But I learned that giving anxiety space is really important. And it's funny because you're talking about it like being a bully. And so I was like, well, why would I want to give anxiety space? And I was thinking about like when I was younger and there were bullies in school, how did my parents tell me to handle the bullies? They didn't say, well, you have to punch the bullies back. Oh, well, you have to just run away from them. Mm-hmm. They always said like one of the pieces of advice was kill them with kindness. Mm-hmm. So talking to someone like as if they weren't saying negative things to you, as if they were speaking nicely to you and you're responding nicely. So if your anxiety is saying you are worthless and you are not going to make it anywhere, you can say, I think I'm doing a really good job. When a bully is trying to egg you on and make you feel bad about yourself, things that you can do are like to talk to it, to respond to it, but in a way that doesn't like give them power. So responding in a way that's like, I'm going to let you speak and I'm going to hear what you have to say and I'm going to respond to you in a way that feels good for me so that I can start to make your voice quieter and quieter and quieter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It
just feels so counterintuitive. Like when you get anxiety, the last thing you want to do is pull it out and mm-hmm. like confront it. But I really think that that's a way that you can start to detach this anxiety from you and realize that your voice is far more like mm-hmm. powerful and important than the negative voice.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, and when I hear the word bully, like I really think of school, you know?
Same.
So I imagine myself like going to school and there's a bully. Like what would I do? Just as you were saying. And the goal really is not to avoid in the hallways. The right. goal is to face the hallways, go through the hallway because you have to get there to go to class. And instead of avoiding it, looking at it and being like, I know you're there and that's okay. But like, you're not going to take control over me. I'm going to face it. So that's what I've been trying to go through. And I appreciate your take on it because that was beautiful.
I think they went really nicely, very nicely together.
Yes.
So we should do peek and pit
of the year.
I don't remember who went first.
Please you. Okay. I feel like I've been talking for like a year.
My pit was at the beginning of the year. I had to go to a funeral for someone very young who was a mother to someone with special needs. And it was an incredibly challenging time. When anyone dies, it's incredibly sad. But I'm sure there might be listeners who have been to funerals where it's just like, why does this happen to good people? Why, you know, it's just, it's a lot when you're trying to be more spiritual and trying to feel more connected. This lingering question that I always have is like, why does this happen? Mm-hmm. And that is like just the pinnacle of anxiety. Like anxiety is like unanswered questions. And it was just really hard because I was trying to be supportive for people who lost someone, but I was also trying to deal with like my own emotions and trying to understand how this happens. And Sarah and I talk a lot about like how our emotions are relative, and it's important to not like diminish what you're feeling based on what other people go through. But at the same time, we acknowledge that some things in life are just like beyond this conversation. Like grief is just an inexplicable thing that unfortunately we all have to go through. And it was really hard. But I appreciated it because it just taught me a lot about like valuing life and valuing family. And that was interestingly at the beginning of the year. So I had a lot of time to have a lot of good things happen to me. And my peak was just 2 days ago, as we're recording this on December 22nd, Sarah and I last week talked about how my peak was getting tickets to the Kanye West opera, and my peak of this year was doing that because
wow,
it was just an incredible experience. And I think the thing that meant the most to me was that I was with Chris, and he at the beginning of this decade introduced me to Kanye. And one thing that has been so meaningful to my relationship is like that I was introduced to an artist that I love so much. And so like, I didn't even realize that it was at the beginning of the decade that I was introduced to him. But like, I'm getting like emotional about it, but like I got to finish the decade in this incredibly spiritual and special place that like, I never thought that I would be able to do that. Like I got to see Kanye twice this decade at like big concerts, festivals, like, you know, the Wells Fargo Center. And I got to be in Lincoln Center, sitting so close to him, watching him do something that means so much to him with the Kardashians. And I know that like Sarah and I joke a lot about like how much we stand, but it was just like, it was another cosmic moment. Like all that I put in to those people that I love, it's not just like a silly thing that I look at on Instagram. It's so connected to my relationship and so connected to who I am as a person. Like, will I go to law school? I don't know, but I get to see Kim going to law school. And it was just such a special, beautiful, beautiful concert. I know that Kanye is like very controversial, but he's meant so much to me. And so I encourage people again, like if you love an artist or you love something, like forget what other people say. Take like what that means to you with you always. You don't have to like go and proselytize how much that person is like it should be for everyone else. But if you love Taylor Swift, I know how strong those fans are. Like you love her and you keep doing it because you have a connection to her and it will take you to wonderful places. That's all.
Thank you.
You're welcome, everyone.
That was great.
I can't believe it took me that long to do that on the podcast. But here we are, episode 18, Baruch Hashem.
I want to add to that to Liz's peak. It's as your friend, it's been incredible to see not only has Kanye, let me rephrase this. It's been really exciting because although a lot of people have a lot of opinions about Kanye's spiritual growth, mm-hmm. it has been so in line with your spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize how much that means to people who do believe, because we rarely see people in this day and age in social media who believe and that are open about it.
Yeah.
So for us this year, who have really found comfort and excitement and new growth opportunities in our faith, to see someone we love, who you've loved for 10 years, right. also going through it at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And he's always been spiritual, but he's more open about it now. And you guys are really finding your faith together. It's like, it's so like, it's just amazing. Like, there's just no other way to describe it. And it's so beautiful. And like, it makes you love him even more, because you are like, not everyone believes. And like, you know, obviously, like, we're Jewish and he's not, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's just the fact that, like, you guys are growing spiritually at the same time, and to love someone and then have them do that at the same time is just incredible. And
yeah.
if the Jonas Brothers, like, were growing their spirituality, like, I'm sure I would be really touched by it, and I would be, you know, even that much more excited to be a fan, because it's really nice to see that, you know.
Well, I think also you can tie a bow around this whole thing. And I think what the Jonas Brothers this year have done for you is, like, last year you really were going through it with a breakup and you just like weren't sure and felt very lost. And this year there's still a lot of unanswered questions, just like there are for the Jonas Brothers. But their reuniting was this like, this thing that happened that also happened for you. You were like, look at the potential that I have. Mm-hmm. I need to go after it. Like, I need to start the podcast. Just like they were like, we need to get back together. It might not all be perfect, mm-hmm. but I need to just do it. And so I think similarly, like, I completely agree. It would have been a very cosmic thing for them to have renewed faith while you're mm-hmm. having it. But like, one thing that you went through this year, they also went through. And I think it's so great to be able to find deeper meaning in the art that you love and like connect it to your life, because that's the whole purpose right. of like, self-reflection. The reason that our culture, like that people since the beginning of time read and listen to music and everything, isn't just because of the superficiality. It's because we want to find deeper connection and like meaning for ourselves. So it's great that we're able to do that. Encourage everyone else to also.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So my pit of the year is that I had some issues with my psychiatrist where there were like some scheduling issues. And I was basically forced off of my anxiety medication.
Mm-hmm.
And by forced, I mean they didn't have time to make appointments with me, but they wouldn't prescribe me my medication until I saw them, but they didn't have the room for me.
Yeah, that's a very, very bad thing.
Yeah, it was very bad. And I haven't really spoken about it like this on the pod, but I basically was forced off my medication. I didn't even get to wean off of it. And I went to urgent care and I went to different doctors and no one would prescribe it to me. And thankfully, I have a therapist and I have support and friends who have helped me through it. But it was a really weird transition.
Yeah.
Especially when you kind of go off cold turkey like that.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. But.
And not advised, but also like Sarah was going really through this. Right. Yeah. And we were like. We talked about it because she was going through it when we were recording, and we just like didn't want to convey that to the audience because it's so hard to talk
and
about.
And we were pretty new in the podcast, and we didn't want to be like, "Hey, I just went off of them."
Totally,
I didn't do that purposely. I would never ever recommend going off medication. I had been on medication for on and off, but for 4 years.
But also, like, it's just a human thing that happens. Medication is like another task that we put in our lives. I remember our episode about overwhelming's like mm-hmm. scheduling and doing all of these things. Like, medication, while it's so vital to so many people, is also just another errand that people have to run.
Yeah.
And so I think while it's really hard and taboo and we don't want to like ever convey things that are unhealthy, it's also just like a part of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good that we're being real about it, because otherwise it's like, we're not fake. Like, we go totally. Through it too. We're not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was kind of forced off of it, and it was a really weird transition. This is the first time that I'm really like in therapy, really, really working through my anxiety, looking it in the eye. And well, see, I said it again, my anxiety. We're like, I don't even want to say that anymore, because it's not my, it's just something I struggle with, but it's not mine to keep that I have forever for the rest of my life. This has been the first time in therapy that I've really been working through anxieties that I face without the medication to help me. And it's really, really challenging and it's really hard. And it forces me to look at some things that I don't like looking at.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again, it feels nice to know that like my therapist believes in me and she sees me working on it. And she's like, I know it's hard. I know it's tough, but you can do it. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep pushing. And like, I don't know. It's been kind of cool to see myself like be okay without it, you know, and I'm getting through it. And that brick on my chest feeling is definitely there. It doesn't really like go away at the snap of the fingers, but I'm getting through it and I'm learning a lot and I'm being challenged, but in a good way. So that was definitely my pit of the year. Mm-hmm. But I'm learning slowly but surely to see the positives in it.
Okay,
so.
Good.
And my peak, sorry, I talk so much.
That's okay. That's what makes a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. I'm like, sorry for talking, everyone. My peak of the year, there have been a lot of things that happened this year, just to name a couple of them. The Jonas Brothers reunited.
Big one.
I got a yoga certification and became a teacher at Core Power.
Big one.
I went to Spain with my best friends from middle school and high school. But I would say the number one peak of the year was my trip to France. It really was absolutely incredible. I don't even have words to describe the trip. It was everything I could have ever wished for. Like, it was all of my family together in one place and we never see each other and we all just had so much love. And it was like nothing had changed in 4 years. And also my grandma is not with us. And the last time we were all together was for her funeral four years ago. But seeing like we now talk about her in like so many conversations. We were just like, look at what she did.
Yeah.
Like to see that I have, my mom has two sisters. All three sisters had kids. A bunch of those kids now have kids. And you look around in a room of like 50 people, can't even squeeze everyone in one picture. And we're like, look at what that one woman brought into the world. It's unbelievable. And we just smile and we're just like so thankful. So yeah, it was beautiful.
I love that. I think it's such an interesting phenomenon to be able to go from grief to like legacy.
Yeah.
And actually, just incidentally, this weekend, my mom and I were talking about like her parents and her grandparents. And my mom, and we'll probably hopefully talk about this a little more in episodes in 2020, but my mom and I have been through a lot of very challenging moments of grief in our life and in my mom's life. And it was just so wonderful to be able to talk to my mom about her grandparents and like all these different things about them that I didn't know. And it wasn't a conversation filled with grief, but rather with like just so much interesting history.
Yeah.
And that's just like a small tangent, but it's a great thing to reflect on when we're talking about like the new year too, is reflecting on like maybe things that have changed and have been hard but have like their lasting impact on you. I know the last thing that we wanted to talk about, even though it seems like peak and pit is a place to end, is looking forward into 2020, because this is the end of 1 year, but also like the biggest opportunity ever is like, what's a goal that you have for 2020? Do you want me to start?
Sure.
A goal I have is to make myself more uncomfortable. So I think that it'll really help me. And I started a little bit early because I don't want to like go January 1st cold turkey. Like I have to start making myself uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. This is really small, but it's a really big anxiety for me, is being late. And I hate it. I don't ever want to be late, especially if I'm taking a workout class. Like I don't want to be the person that walks in the middle of it. And today I wasn't late, but I had someone coming to my apartment to help me with something. And I had to go to this workout class. Like I booked it and I paid for it. And I was like, I have to go. And they were running a little bit late. And I left my keys on top of like the buzzer and I just left. And I was like, okay, like the worst case scenario is like someone finds the keys and then I can't get back into my apartment because the keys will be gone before the person gets there and then I'm never gonna be able to get back into my apartment. And I was just like, I just have to do it. I thought about all the people I know who would be able to do that. I literally thought about like you and Odelia, because I know that that's just something you'd be like, it's fine. Like you have different anxieties than me. And so I was considering all the people who like are just more like, this will be fine, it's 10 minutes and it's not something I consider. I went to my class, I got out, I got back into my apartment and it all worked out. And that may not seem major to some people, but like to me, it's just a major anxiety of like being late, not knowing where my keys are going to be. Am I going to be able to get back into my apartment? So just like trying to challenge myself more and because I think ultimately it'll make my life a little bit easier when I'm less worried about things.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I love that. My goal of 2020 is to remove the word sorry from my vocabulary until I actually need to say it. Mm. I think as women in general,
yes,
and people, we tend to say sorry way too often. I say sorry for things that like don't need an apology.
They do not warrant the word
sorry. Sorry for talking. Oh, wait, it's your podcast.
Right.
Sorry for like... If the four of my roommates and I decide to watch a movie and I'm like, wait, I have to go run to like use a bathroom or something, like it'll take 2 seconds. Instead of saying sorry for making you wait, like thank you for waiting or love thanks that. For your patience.
Yeah.
That's it. I have to pee. What am I going to do? Not go?
Right. What would be an example of something you'd want to say sorry for and mean that sorry? Like, can you help me to understand, like,
if I hurt someone, if a friend were to come to me and say like, you really hurt me when you said that comment, I don't know, like if I actually did something that warranted a sorry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I encourage you, this is a challenging thing, but I encourage you to, like, if a friend comes to you and says like, you hurt my feelings, this isn't saying like you should diminish them, no, but rather just being like, reflect on what you said and what you meant, and like, are you sorry that you said it, or are you sorry that the person was hurt? And just knowing, like, yeah, what you're saying,
that makes
like
sense.
Making sure you're saying sorry not because it pleases someone else, but because you're sorry for the way that what you said hurt someone else.
Mm-hmm. I also think sometimes I used to do this a lot. I used to apologize if someone was like annoyed at me or anything. I don't know, the smallest thing, I would just say sorry.
Yep. Because and you want it to go away. You don't want to argue.
Exactly. But that doesn't necessarily help the situation. And nope. It just continues a habit of me being the one apologizing. And it kind of gives the other person the power.
Right.
Like, if I didn't do anything wrong, I don't need to say sorry. And by me saying sorry, it kind of gives others it allows others to be like, she did do something wrong and I do deserve that sorry.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you don't say sorry and you just talk through it with someone, it doesn't give others the power to say, yeah, you did something wrong. Like, it's almost like you apologizing gives other people the confirmation that they needed that you did something.
Agreed. And I also think, like, having a disagreement or an argument that warrants a sorry, like, doesn't need to be, you did this, oh my God, I'm sorry. It can be like, you did this to me. And Sarah, you could be like, well, I don't really understand right now why that offended you, because I didn't mean it this way.
Right.
And the person could say, well, I took it this way. And you could say, okay. So you felt like what I was saying was this. And then a conversation can lead to a sorry.
Right.
You don't need to like nip it in the bud. Oops, sorry. Like, but you also don't need to like, you know, make someone feel badly if they feel, yes, if they were wronged.
Yes.
So it's sort of finding a balance between like, I'm not just going to say sorry for whatever thing may offend someone,
right,
because people have their own interpretations of events, but I also am not going to be the kind of person that's like,
right,
well, what you say doesn't matter because that's not how I meant it.
Right. Or like if I'm in an argument with someone or a debate or whatever it is, and they're like, hey, like that just made me really sad, I'd be like, because you're my friend, I'm sorry that you feel that way. That wasn't my intention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. And I know that it's still something I have to work on in general. But like, I would almost prefer to say to someone like, I am sorry that you feel that way because I don't want you to be hurting. But that's not this. I don't think that's the same thing as just saying like, I'm sorry for doing something wrong.
Completely. And there's a fine line to like toe, because it's like, you don't want to sound condescending if you say, I'm sorry you feel that way. But also sometimes it's like, I believed what I said,
yeah,
but I am sorry if
exactly
the way that I said it
exactly
resonated with you in a way that like it shouldn't have.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I think those are great goals, and we'll be back. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.
2020. Let's make it bigger and better than ever.
Bigger and better than ever. We have a couple really exciting episodes coming at you. We are not going anywhere. We wish you an incredibly happy new year.
Happy, healthy new year.
And we will see you in 2020.
Oh, and thank you. So some thank yous.
Thank you for, you know, how long, three and a half months of listening to us, whether you're a new listener, you started from the very beginning. We're so appreciative. We talked a bit about it in our Thanksgiving episode, but 2019 was the year of It's Fine, I'm Fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that 2020 is the bigger year of It's Fine, I'm mm-hmm. Fine. And yay.
Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for supporting us, for being here, for allowing us to do this. It's been so much fun. And as Liz said, we will see you next year.
See you next year. Suckas.
With that. It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Let's make this loud.
Hey-o.
That was a lot.
Okay.
There we go.
That was a good one.
Bye.